Okay, we'll be getting ready to get started in 1 minute. I'd like to welcome everybody on the call. We got quite a few people. Let me good. We got about 15 and growing, and other people will ding in and ding out. But as we get ready to get started, if everyone would go ahead and, you know, if you have any questions as we get started, this is going to be an interesting one. You know, I've been in practice for over 20 years, and a couple people on the line know me. I know Rich has actually done seminars with me, and he's been in my practices, the smaller practices and the bigger practices. And, you know, I've had practices in different parts of the United States, and I've helped a bunch of other people build practices. But I'm the first to admit that what you really need is to really stay on top of the marketing, because marketing's constantly changing. I mean, I always think back to the seminar business, doing those the Holiday Inn gigs, I call them, the Stop Smoking Weight Loss seminars in the, you know, on the road. And, you know, I've done those off and on, and boy, have they changed, you know, from how you get people in rooms, what works, what doesn't work. Not so much the techniques once you get them in the rooms or in your seminar or in your clinic. Those, you know, those are always being updated, but nothing like the marketing. Because, you know, I built the practices a lot with newspaper ads, which will work well, but they're very expensive and becoming more expensive all the time. And, of course, with the changing dynamics of with the Internet and all the other things, you know, it's harder and harder to use the old modalities. So it's almost like you need to constantly stay apprised of all the new marketing techniques and tips, as well as some of the classic ones and some of the things that work that maybe people don't think about. So I'm kind of excited tonight to bring on Ron Hudson, who's a protege of Jay Abraham, who, for people that don't know him, and put on the email, Google his name. He's the guy that helped Tony Robbins become Tony Robbins and a few of the other people that we know, you know, in the seminar world. And so I'm excited to hear about it. I've read Jay Abrams' book. In fact, it is the CD course on, you know, how to tap into what you already have. And I plan on listening to that on one of my trips. So, you know, it's always good to tap into people that are good at what they do. I will bring him on with the last thing I always say is that I always say model people that know how to do it. And, you know, we've seen, just give him a little bit of an overview in the E-Zine Blast about how he's helped different businesses build, and of course we do have a business. So I'd like to welcome Ron Hudson from the beautiful Midwest.
Thank you very much. It's certainly a privilege and an honor to be on the call with you, and also being able to have an impact in the lives of people who are practicing NLP. I told Will some time ago, excuse me, my experience with NLP actually was began with Tony Robbins, but even before that I had went to a hypnotist when I was really young, probably 14, 15 years old, and because I was actually bedwetting at that age in junior high school. Can you imagine how traumatizing that is to still be at that age and actually bedwetting? And my dad took me to a hypnotist. And this guy told me a story about baseball, and I never wet the bed again. So that was my beginning with learning about hypnosis, and then years later, of course, NLP, as a result of going to work in Tony's franchise. Actually, before that, I was already going through his book, Unlimited Power, Personal Power, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. My story is quite extensive as it relates to Tony. But during my time while I was working with Tony, I discovered Jay Abraham. And Jay had actually sent one of his 20-page letters out to the franchise owner at that time, and I happened to get a hold of it because I was helping the franchise owner with some marketing and giving him some advice here and there because I had been reading various books, but I had never heard of this guy named Jay Abraham. And I started reading this book about the mastermind event and ended up attending it. $5,000 event. Here I am on straight commission working in the franchise, but I decided, you know, I want to know what this guy knows. Because I said to myself, you must know marketing. In order to really take your business to another level, especially as an independent contractor or a business owner or a professional in practice, however you describe yourself, you know, I said to myself, you must know marketing because, yes, you know sales, you know how to do that really well, but marketing is what brings clients in the door. So as I read Jay's letter, I got really excited, signed up for the event, and with the pre-course material that was sent out to me, I was able to help Brian, the gentleman who owned the franchise at the time, actually make money before I even attended the seminar. So he was very excited and was, you know, go, man, go. I want you to go to the seminar and come back and help me some more. And so really what I'm going to go over are some very powerful strategies in terms of how to grow your practice. And I'll do that simply by telling you some stories. I'm hearing some background noise.
Yeah, I'm
people talking on the line.
Remind everybody to it's better if we do it this way. If everyone would press star 2 to mute their call, still for us, but then blocked out all background sounds and things like that. So if everybody would star 2 rather than me doing it, so I don't knock anybody else off. And at the end, we will have you. We will take questions. So,
okay.
All
right. All right. Great.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No problem. Thank you. So anyway, I attended the Jay Abraham event. While I was there, I ended up going and actually exchanged that event for, or exchanged my participation in that event for his protege program. Brought that home with me, and I dived into that material. And learned very quickly, you know, it really reinforced what I'd already learned in the pre-course material, and then being at the live event just solidified what I knew before I got there. It was kind of a, you know, it's exactly what it sounds like. It was a mastermind. But here's what I want to communicate to you real quick. During the course of listening to Jay being interviewed by someone, that person asked Jay, if you only had one strategy to start your practice with, if you were starting from ground zero, which of your strategies would you want to be able to use? And that's all you could use. You had to start from ground zero. And Jay said to them, endorsements, which is also known as a joint venture or strategic alliance. And so why did he say that? Well, before I tell you why I said that, let me share with you some examples of really, you know, what's an endorsement. And if you think about the fact that you are on the line with us, with we're all, you know, you're hearing me talk about this right now, and the reason that you are hearing about me for the very first time is because my NLP trainer, Dr. Will Horton, is introducing me to you. He sent a mailer or an email to you before you came on the call, and it was an endorsement of me. So there's a level of trust coming to the call, and that trust is in more so than it is in me because you don't know me. You know him. But what happens in this process is that anchor gets transferred to me. So I'm going to use use language that we all know as NLP practitioners and master practitioners. So you want to look for someone in your community or even outside your community. Actually, I believe that we should all expand our perspective about how we can market our business simply because of technology. I've set up a new process where I can now be talking to someone and they can see me live. You know, that's the webcam, right? Anyone can see me, hear me talk. You know, you can hear me, you can see me. But to get back to where I was, where I started when I started talking about this is endorsements. So find someone who's an anchor in the niche that you want to market to, if indeed you are marketing in it, to a niche, or if there's a particular area of NLP that you've decided to focus in on, as I have, and that I focus in on teaching persuasion and influence skills based on NLP and NAC. And so I look for anchors in the society that I can go to who are not my competitors, and sometimes they are competitors in that they teach sales training, right? They already teach sales training, so what do I have that they don't have? They're not a master practitioner of NLP. So think in terms of who can benefit more from you being more successful. Because there are people who will literally endorse you to their database because they see the benefit that you bring to the table. Now, there is rapport that you have to build. There's some things that you will have to walk through in order to get to that point where they're like, yes, I'll go ahead and send something to my database endorsing you. And if you're not able to get them to do a full-out endorsement of your training, whatever it is that you want to do, then offer to do something where similar to what I'm doing, in that you can do a free training, or you can put together a free audio recording and ask them to give it to their clients as a gift with purchase, or just a gift. That way someone has an opportunity to test what it is that you do. They get a chance to sample it. I actually use the metaphor of going into the mall, and when you go into a lot of malls around the country and you go into the food court area, there's someone standing out in front of their restaurant with a plate of chicken with toothpicks stuck through them. And as soon as you walk by, they offer you a piece of that chicken, and you'll taste it. And for me, most of the time, my experience has been it's been bourbon chicken. And I'll taste that bourbon chicken even though I know what it tastes like, and my mouth will start watering, and I'll taste it, and I'll be like, okay, I'll just order the whole meal. And so think in terms of allowing people to sample what it is that you can do. And that is one of the most powerful ways to build your business. Now, let me give you an example of how I've allowed clients of mine to actually give my services away. And well, let me think about this. What I did is a client of mine who I'd done some work for years ago, and this actually happened when I was first starting my marketing practice, when that's all I was focused on was being a marketing consultant. I actually contacted one of my clients and I said, hey, Rod, here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to buy you several hours of my time. And what I want you to do is give this time away to clients who would be ideal clients of yours, who would be ideal clients for me. And he was very agreeable to this because I helped get great results for him, so he was very pleased with the results that he achieved as a result of my advice. So I said exactly that way. I'm going to buy you several hours of my time to give away, but only give it to people who are ideal clients for me. And he agreed, and within, I think it was probably a couple of weeks, possibly a month, I was on the phone with a gentleman named Bill Emerson, who at the time was the vice president of sales and marketing for Rock Financial. Well, Bill Emerson is now the CEO of Rock Financial, but it's owned by Quicken Loans. And all I did, again, is I gave him, my client, a gift so that he could give it to someone else. And it endeared his client more so to him because I set it up so that when I got on the phone with Bill, that it wasn't going to be a sales pitch. I said to Rod, now I want you to know this isn't going to be a sell. So I'm not going to attempt to sell Bill Emerson on my services. I'm going to treat him as if he's already paid me, or that you've already paid me. That's the way this conversation is going to transpire, in that I will treat him like he's paid me whatever my fee was back then. And by before the end of that call, Bill Emerson wanted me to work for him. I didn't ask him. I didn't even hint like I wanted to do business with him. I got on the call. I reviewed some direct mail that they were sending out at the time. I made suggestions. I made some suggestions regarding the headlines, the opening sentence or opening paragraph, the offer, the mail piece, how it looked, how it was delivered. And, again, by the end of the phone call, he was asking me, how can I get you to work for me? What does it take to get you to do some work for me? So let that just settle into your mind, the power of that strategy or that method, because it really is a method more than it is a strategy. So my objective, my outcome, the outcome that I was going for in that was to endear, to cause the client of my client to become more endeared to my client, to be thankful that he had put him on the phone with me, to want to do more business with my client, because if he's doing more business with my client, well, guess what's going to happen? My client's going to do more business with me. So the more my client, the more happy my client was, the more happy his client was, and the more happy I was. So, and this actually brings up an interesting story for me. I was in Rochester, New York, promoting Tony's one-day event that he doesn't do anymore called Strategic Influence. And I was with a gentleman named Walt Choi, and Walt and I were talking, and I said to Walt, you know, it's really not about who you know. It's not about who you know. It's who knows you. And he added something today. He said, Ron, it really not. You know, it is to a degree about who you know and who knows you, but it's also who they know and who they're willing to introduce you to. It's about what have you done for that person. You want to do something for the people that are going that you're wanting to gain an endorsement from. If that means, you know, taking them through an intervention to prove that NLP works as well as we know it does, or, you know, whatever it is, if you want to do a free presentation, put together a free recording, a free video, because now you can put video on YouTube and anyone can see that, actually see you do an intervention with someone and see the effectiveness of NLP. So the most powerful strategy, again, is endorsements, joint ventures, or strategic alliances. Just a few weeks ago, I was on the phone with a gentleman, and I interviewed him on my radio show. And after the show was over, we ended up talking for, it was probably another 90 minutes, so I was... my show airs at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, and he and I, you know, finish up the show, and then we stay on the phone and we talk for another hour and a half. I don't even remember how long it was. And again, I didn't ask him for any business, and didn't ask him, didn't do any solicitation. But he knew, he had some idea that I'd love to do something work with him, but I didn't. I just let it go. We just had a great conversation. I built rapport. I wanted to be in rapport with him. I wanted to get in as deep a rapport as I possibly could over the phone, and I believe that I can do that 100%, that I can get into the deepest level of rapport over the phone just as easily as I can if I see you face-to-face. That's my belief. But a couple of weeks later, I called him and I said, you know, I just called and I wanted to talk and find out how things are going and find out what we can, you know, how I can serve you. And before he even answered that, we ended up talking for another almost 90 minutes. And toward the end of that conversation, I said, you know what? I didn't even call for that. I didn't call, and we ended up having this long, and it was a great conversation. We were laughing and talking about our business experiences, and at the end of the conversation, I said, you know what, Jim? I that's not even what I called you. It was great. I enjoyed the conversation, but I called you because I wanted to find out how I can serve you. How can we take our relationship to the next step? And one of the things he said to me is, you know, you're right. You know, here's what we can do. And we set up an interview. I'm going to be doing an interview with his clients, and that he's going to bring me onto a call like this. But I'm going to be talking about persuasion and influence skills, subconscious persuasion and influence skills to his clients. And the other thing that happened that's really more fascinating than that is when we were negotiating how that process was going to happen, in that I'm going to have a product that's going to be for sale to his clients. And during the course of that conversation, he ended up saying to me, and there was another gentleman in the room, a business partner of his was in the room, and this was a conference call, and he's, you know, they're asking, so, you know, how much would you charge? And I said, well, how much do you normally charge for something like this, or what's been your experience? Because I'm not going to throw out a random price. And he tells me what he's charged his clients before, or members. Actually, it's a member type organization. Tells me what he's charged them or what they paid for a live event. So, and that was like $249 or something like that. And I said, well, okay. Then my event that we'll put on, I'll charge $99. Well, then he ends up asking me, or his business partner asked me, what percentage of that is ours? And I said to him, well, what percentage of it do you believe is fair? Or actually, I didn't say believe. I said, what percentage of it do you think is fair? And he said, actually, no, they started laughing. Both of them started laughing. And here I'm, like, okay, what are they laughing about? I didn't know, and I'm just sitting there kind of waiting, okay, well, they're going to stop laughing at some point. And then they say, then the owner of the company says, Ron, here's what we're going to do. We're going to let you keep all the money from the sale. So rapport is the most important part of the selling process, and I personally don't believe that result would have happened if I did not have rapport. And if I could see you right now, I'd ask you to raise your hands if you believe if you believe the same as I do. And I believe you do. In that rapport is the most important part. I mean, think about it. When you're in a session, intervention, doing an intervention with someone, if you don't have rapport before you go to do that intervention, you're fooling around with your outcome, the success, or achieving a successful outcome. So before I go on, Will, do you have any questions for me?
Well, yeah. How could we, how can we use those techniques, that kind of stuff, if we're building a traditional, like, hypnosis practice? I mean, I see we could take that, like, once you already have clients, we could, and I've done that, you know, if you find out they work for a company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've networked that in. That's how I got into this one hospital. December, I did a stop smoking program for a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the nurses came to me and quit smoking, and she introduced me to their, you know, human resource people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we worked it out, you know, and I ended up doing a seminar.
Great.
For the hospital. And because I had a, you know, an endorsement by, she was, well, I found out later she wasn't just one of the nurses. She was a nurse, second in charge of the whole nursing unit.
Wow.
So, you know, you never know who your clients are. Many times we don't. We just, you know, especially in a you know, they're coming in to stop smoking, lose weight, control stress, whatever they're coming in for.
Is it a one-on-one?
Get a little bit of info.
It's usually a one-on-one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so, you have an intake form that where they fill out what their what their profession is.
Right.
Okay.
And you know, it's you know, is there ways to do that?
You actually laid it out really well. That's exactly the way I would, you know, I would really find out more about the your existing database, because you could have someone in your database who is a major influencer in your community, and what I mean by that is, you could have someone like if you go to I actually have been using some social media marketing tools here lately. And the people who are connected to me through this social media tool called Twitter.com are some pretty heavy hitters in the marketing industry. So, you know, if you know who they are already, that's one thing. But if you don't know who they are, if you're not familiar with their background, then I would recommend certainly finding out as much as you can about your clients. I mean, as much as you can, because if you're unable to get an endorsement, then or do a strategic alliance or a joint venture, then the next best thing is a referral. And how do you work referrals? You can offer. In that situation, you didn't end up having to do this. You didn't end up having to offer to do a seminar. She, I guess, asked you or introduced you to the human resource person, and the human resource said, you know, what can you do for the entire group? But those opportunities exist in your database of clients or customers, whatever you guys call them. That those opportunities exist is just looking for them. It's actually, you know, searching for the diamonds in your database, because they're there. And one of the ways that as I mentioned already, in that you can give away your services in a way that makes sense. If you, in doing hypnosis with someone, depending on what it is that you're dealing with, you can very easily give away a gift certificate to someone to give to someone for whatever their issue might be. You know, just formalizing your referral system can generate a tremendous amount of business for you. It's just coming up with the concepts or the twist, different methods to build that referral system. And certainly one of them is, you know, using gift certificates is a very common thing in that, and I didn't even give Rod a gift certificate. I just said, hey, Rod, you know, anyone you meet who would be an ideal client for me, just offer them this time, one hour of my time.
What I used to do in my clinic with traditional weight loss clients was, you know, when we'd be talking and they'd be coming back for follow-ups, if they were, you know, whenever they said they did anything well, like, oh, I lost 8 pounds, or this is going on, or that's going on, you know, I would note that.
Uh-huh.
And then I would kind of write that out, and then after the session, I would have kind of sketched it out, and what they said, of course, jazzed it up a little bit, make it sound better.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end of the session, I'd say, oh, you know, this is what you said. Would you mind kind of rewriting that and signing it? That's how I got my testimonials.
That's great.
And then when they did that, then I'd give them a card. I know Rich knows this one. I give them a card, you know, and say thanks, because now they've written and they've committed. They've socially committed.
That's right.
And I'd give them a card, three or four cards to give to people, you know, to that they would get a little discount if they came to see me.
Right.
And right. I found that what really worked well is when I gave them the cards, you know, we always do. You give out cards to give to people. It will work sometimes. It would work, you know, sometimes it wouldn't work. I started to say, only give these cards to people you really care about.
Mm, that's very good.
And that, you know, and that may take it, you know, that would do this. And then I found that I was doing that right toward the end, and my referral rate went up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because then people were having to think about, well, who am I going to give it to? Instead of just giving it to anybody, they actually thought about it.
Right.
And, of course, if you do that right after the session, it's, to be honest with everybody, everybody knows this, they're still in trance.
Exactly. And you really want them to, you really want them to value the gift. That's part of it, in that if they just, you know, think, oh, you're just giving me, you know, it's just a business card. No, you, what you did is you got them to really value the gift by telling them, give it to someone you care about. And that attached an emotional value to get this gift that they're giving, as opposed to just being a business card that they could pass around. And something that's a very good way to generate referrals. And as you've already stated, that's how you built your hypnosis practice.
Right. And then the other thing, like you're talking about, you know, networking with people. In building on that, it takes us from just being traditional hypnosis practice, which is great, can be quite successful. That's why we're in the business.
Uh-huh.
But you're still exchanging, you know, time for dollars.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If you start linking up with other people and selling things and putting on your website, I know Rich is working on this and
mm-hmm.
a few other people, where you could, you know, sell other people's products. I know. You know, I have a lot of people selling a lot of my products,
uh-huh.
and of course they make a hefty chunk of money for doing that. And,
uh-huh.
and other people can network with other people. They call it affiliate programs or stuff like that. But
right.
you know, that way you don't have to go out and reinvent the wheel. Do you suggest? And put it with our regular website. You know, like you got a Suncoast Hypnosis website about, you know, weight loss, stop smoking, and then. Put a little tagline maybe that says, you know, do you want to learn how to be a hypnotist or a neuro-linguistic programmer? Click here. And then, you know,
mm-hmm.
would you suggest we do those kind of things?
Absolutely. What I would avoid doing, well, let me say it this way. One of the most important things about marketing yourself is that you come up with whether this applies to your practice or it applies to something that you're selling, it's important that you develop what is called a unique selling proposition. Your unique selling proposition in the situation where you were giving the cards away, it was 10% off. That's a unique selling proposition. It's also called an offer. And it's really important to have that as, you know, as it relates to your hypnosis practice, because there, in England, or in Europe, I should say, there's apparently like NLP practitioners every other block. You know, I was just reading something about it. I mean, there's so many NLP practitioners and master practitioners. So there's a lot of competition, whereas over in the States, there isn't a lot of competition. However, we still have to have a way that will identify us in a very, you know, in the minds of people where they will actually say, that's something that I want, or that's, well, definitely that's something that I want. So even with, you know, marketing products, you want to have a USP, you want to develop your offer, you want to certainly have those. I believe in order for us to really maximize our time, product is important. I mean, it's integral. I mean, we really, in order for us to increase our income without having to continually be out there on the road, traveling all over the country, all over the world, we can leverage our time and continue to do that as well, and earn money while we're sleeping, and no matter where we are in the country. So the
How would you suggest, I know I have a way, but how would you suggest people start thinking about their unique selling proposition? I also always heard that called elevator speech.
Yeah, that's certainly one way to think about it. Really, one of the things that I heard a gentleman, when he was teaching this, the process of developing the USP, is he actually asked a question, and he just said, do you know how? do you know how? So if you say, and Tony did, Tony was really good at doing the, and I don't know that he even knew what a USP was back when he first got started, but he would basically challenge people, challenge psychologists, psychiatrists, and other people who were treating people with phobias and other issues, more the phobia issue than anything else. He would challenge them, and he would one of the things he would say on the radio is, "Do you know how it usually takes, you know, 10, 20 years to overcome a phobia? Well, I'm here to tell you that it doesn't have to take that long. I can help you get over your phobia in 20 minutes or 30 minutes." And that's a huge claim, but it's a very powerful, unique selling proposition in that anyone who is suffering from a phobia, hearing that will jump in their car and go to wherever he was. I mean, because he was putting on these free demonstrations, he would tell people. He would tell a psychiatrist who had been dealing with someone for 20, 30 years, you know, bring somebody you haven't been able to cure yet. You must have a lot of those. You know, I mean, he would really get in people's faces on the air anyway. He would really get into their stuff. But the point of that story is really that he would look for ways to answer that question in someone else's mind, because there are people who are, and some of you probably have already done this, in that you have a hypnosis practice, but when people think of hypnosis, if you don't give them a frame in which to think about it, they won't know, they'll have their own thoughts to go through, right? They'll be asking the question or questions, what does that mean based on my experience, and what should I do based on my experience? And before I ever found out that there were other, you know, before I went to that hypnotist as a child or young teenager to get rid of my issue with bedwetting, you know, all I knew of hypnotists was the stage shows. So if you don't have a clearly defined USP that sets the frame in someone's mind, then they'll be questioning or they'll assume that they know what it means. So again, it's just asking that question, do you know how? So if do you know how you've been dealing with anxiety, or you've been dealing with phobias, or you've been dealing with whatever it is that you want to focus on kind of a flagship type intervention that you deal with, create a USP around that. You know, don't try to be everything to everyone simply because, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't have enough money to try to sell everybody out in the marketplace who absolutely should know these influence and persuasion skills that we learned as a result, you know, in addition to other training that I've gone through. I don't have the pockets deep enough. So instead of focusing on society as a whole, who would certainly benefit from learning influence and persuasion skill, focus on the target that makes the most sense, which is, you know, salespeople, business owners, professionals in practice like yourself, and develop your USP based on what they're looking for. What is it that you have a passion for doing that is going to be that you know is a problem for people, and show them that you have that solution. If you are in trouble with the IRS, do you want to deal with someone who is a CPA and they're a general practitioner, or do you want to deal with a CPA who's a former IRS agent and they have that in their ad? Naturally, you're going to go towards the person that's a former IRS agent and a CPA. Does that make sense?
Right.
Okay. So that's what when I'm helping a client develop a USP, is I walk them through a few examples like that to get their brain, you know, get the juices flowing, the creative juices flowing, and really getting them to determine how they want to focus their practice or focus their business, because they already have the answer. It's just helping them pull it out.
Right. And I remember in the early 90s, and I'll date myself, you know, and the country was going through kind of what we're going through now, you know,
uh-huh.
an economic slowdown with all kinds of other stuff going on. I know that business slowed down a little bit. I had a traditional practice. But what I started to do is I put in a lot of my ads. I was doing ads, and, you know, if people are doing ads or in their when they're talking to people, what I started putting in my ads was the little comment that, you know, you can still look good and feel good in spite of uncertain economic times. Because that's all we're hearing is about, you know, back then they didn't say recession. They called it, you know, it was when, right before Bill Clinton got elected, the uncertain economic times.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why I put that in the ad, but...
It's a pattern interrupt.
Yeah, and people go, wow, I never thought of that. You know, now's a good time to lose weight. Now's
it's
a good time
reframe.
To stop
it's
smoking.
A reframe and a pattern interrupt. It's great.
Yeah, and I started just putting that in my ads, and it I don't know, it made the phone ring more. You know, and I developed my USP for everybody that I think in my master's class I always make people start to study and figure out what their USP is going to be. And, you know, mine for a training used to be, I kind of did it as an elevator speech. And what I mean by that is if somebody asks you, what do you do, you should be able to answer it in about 15 seconds, kind of what they'd say, what you'd say on an elevator in a big
mm-hmm.
city, right?
Mm-hmm.
And mine was, you know, somebody asked me what I do is I teach you how to get other people to do what you want and have them think it was their idea.
I like it.
And
wow,
like,
I need to write that down.
Yeah, and then, of course, the second, because whenever your USP, when you tell somebody a USP, the way I always learn is their next question should be, how do you do that?
Right.
And so when I do about weight loss, I teach people how to lose weight fast and easy, you know, just using the power of their mind. Well, how do you do that? Well, I do hypnosis and da-da-da-da-da. So, and, you know, those kind of things actually work when you're talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
Because rather, and I think the mistake, and I know we got some people on the line that probably agree with this, is that we forget that we're selling a service and people are buying a result.
Absolutely.
They're not buying hypnosis or neuro-linguistics. They could care less, you know. My original mentor, I go back a long time, used to say, I won't be as gross as he said, but, you know, if you could tell somebody they'll lose 50 pounds by dancing in the moonlight
uh-huh.
with a cat, they'll go buy a cat and dance in the moonlight. Because that's what they want. They're not coming necessarily, you know, for hypnosis. They're coming for whatever the result is.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the ways to think about developing these kind of things is what's the result people are coming to you for, weight loss. I know Rich is starting to get people over on the other coast. He had a slowdown. He said it was starting to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if you focus on, well, what do the people want? I mean, hypnosis is a way to get there, but what's the final goal?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it thin, smoke-free, stress, lower stress, higher sales, whatever it might be?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
And that's fundamental to being able to really boost your sales is being able to clearly define the benefits for the end user or the client or customer.
Well,
that's a big.
You brought up something I know I firmly believe, which is even in your clinical practice, we're kind of generalists, which is fine. I mean, I you know, I just worked with a lady on health issues, and then the other day I worked with a lady just for the old weight loss, you know, was a friend of a client who called me, an old client, even though I don't have my office anymore. I kind of work out of my house or I go to their house when I'm not on the road.
Mm-hmm.
But that we should think about finding a niche, even in the hypnosis world, whether that's going to be weight loss or smoking. Of course, those are two big niches. But
mm-hmm.
I would say this is my personal opinion, is you're going to do weight loss and smoking if you do hypnosis, just because you will, because that's what people will call for. But find another subspecialty. You know,
right.
mine was addictions. Everybody knows, because I, you know, was been in recovery myself for 25 years, but also, you know, was an alcohol and drug counselor. So I kind of went down the addiction route, and so that was my subspecialty. So I studied it, not just with the, you know, the hypnosis, but I studied it in other ways. And so I think we could look at all these other specialties, whether it's pain management or addictions, you know, sales, and how to help people be better salespeople like you're doing, and things like that. Because whatever your subspecialty is, that'll build your practice, I think.
Absolutely. One of the people that I've modeled in a marketing area, other than Jay Abraham, is the guy that what is his name? David Frey or something like that. It's been years ago. I went through some of his I went through a couple of his programs, but he talks about niching yourself and him dealing with people actually being resistant to do that because they think that they're not going to get more, they're not going to get more business, or they're going to, because they limit themselves, they're going to not get as much business. But what he continually discovered, in once he finally got people over that belief, that what happens is you end up getting questions about, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? Yeah, I know you do this really well, but can you do this? You know, I know you handle addictions. How about phobias? Do you know how to do that? And it was just by virtue of what it is that you do, and that being master practitioners or practitioners of NLP, people are going to end up asking you, you know, hey, I have this. They're going to say, I have this problem. Would you be able to help me with that? I mean, I know that you tend to work with whatever issue that you decide to niche yourself with, or if it's more than one, or however, you know, many it is, they will ask. The question will still come up, especially you get really good. Again, I mean, back up to Tony, because he's a huge anchor, right, for all of us. Maybe not all of us. He's a huge anchor for me, certainly. And that's what he started his career with, is handling phobias. He got on the radio and challenged people, and he, fortunately for good for him, that he was able to deliver. Otherwise, his star would have fallen a long time ago. But he was able to deliver on that big fat claim that I can cure a phobia in 30 minutes. So, you know, is it necessary to be that bold, to be that outrageous? It's up to you. You know, we all have our own comfort level with being bold and outrageous. You know,
well, and you have a radio state. You do a radio show, right?
Correct.
And I got to jump in there and say I think that's such an underused thing that we have sitting in front of us, because I know I did a couple calls on this, but and I know Rich has done this, and a couple people I know up north that learned this is there's a website called radio. It's radio-locator.com. Radio-locator.com.
Uh-huh.
And it has every radio station in the United States and Canada.
Huh.
You know, all you do is type in the city you're at, and it'll give you all the radio stations. In fact, you can get if you want to get fancy with it in the website, it'll break it down by, you know, like rock or whatever, but it'll give you all the radio stations.
Uh-huh.
So everyone has all these radio stations in their area.
Uh-huh.
And just think about how much time these guys have to fill. You have a specialty show, but, I mean, every day. I mean, I've done, what, about 20 to 30 radio shows in the last month and a half.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Well, I started sending out emails and working with, and I networked with someone. What you were just talking about. We got a joint venture going on.
Great.
And that's what they do. They get people on the radio, and we're selling books and products on the back end. And how do you get on the radio? Is you get it'll go to Radio Locator and find the radio stations in your area. And, of course, you could do it. I've been doing them all over the country. I did some, like, you know, the Jim Bohannon show and a couple of the what's it called, XM Radio, the national shows and stuff. But the
real
thing.
What are you telling them, though? I mean, how are you – are you just calling up the program director or are you sending
well,
a press
yeah,
release?
Send out, you send them a, yeah, you send them a fax and you make an outrageous claim.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, we're kind of doing it one way because this guy's a media guy, but he teaches people that you just write your local – you know, send a fax to the director, you know, the station director, and just say who you are locally. Like, you know, I'm Rich Alexander over here in wherever Satan's area of Florida, and but you know, and I'm a hypnotist, and you know, you can do one of two things. You can be kind of get known as the local expert, and they'll always look to interview you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even heard, and other people have taken it a step farther, and I'm going to do this when I get back, just drop by the local radio stations and, you know, dress nice, do the whole thing, and just go in and what you were talking about, joint venture, say, you know, I'm so-and-so, this is what I do. You know, I'd be happy to be live on the air for callers and things like that. And especially some of the AM shows that do a lot of talk. I mean, we're going into the political season heavy after the whenever this horrible primary thing ends.
Mm-hmm.
But you could even go and say, you know, we could talk about the use of hypnotic language in elections. And this is what they're doing, like how Obama uses more of the his speech pattern and his
mm-hmm.
his cadence is very hypnotic.
Uh-huh.
His choice of embedded commands,
uh-huh.
you know, things like that. But I mean, that'll get you on. And then the big thing I've heard a lot of people do lately is, you know, they start basically networking with the local radio station until they get known as the local alternative healthcare expert.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can do that for
you know,
TV
you can call
too.
In and like you know, if you were the local disc jockey, you know, you could network that way. That and
are
that's a joint venture with a radio station because they have, you know, 24 hours a day to fill.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, or AM radio, it's
especially early in the morning.
Yeah.
And radio right now, folks, just to give you an insider perspective. Not mine, but a gentleman who's been in radio for, you know, I don't even remember how long he had been in radio. But there's a gentleman that I interviewed on my show who had worked, actually it had 400 or 500 affiliate radio stations under his thumb. And he said right now radio is suffering big time. So what Will is saying as far as them needing content, they need content. But more importantly, they need commercials. They need advertisers. And they're losing a lot of advertising dollars to the Internet and other mediums because it's, you know, people are just not listening to radio as much. So,
yeah.
But
and so they're also, yeah.
It's
so
a great opportunity.
I heard someone else say not just that, like you say, they're trying to get advertising. Of course, you could work it in if you do ads, the radio ads work. But because their revenue's falling, they're looking to fill airtime for free. And, in fact, I just found this out, you know, Marshall Silver.
Oh.
Right? How he actually got started wasn't just his stage show in Vegas.
He had
a stage show in Vegas, but it wasn't that big. How he actually got started, ladies, for those you don't know, he's made a boatload of money as not just a hypnotist, but he does seminars. But how he actually got started is he came in to do what we were just talking about. He came in and did some radio spots in Las Vegas, and the radio station manager at the time was Burke Allen, who I've done business with, and said, you know, this guy, he's upbeat, he's funny, he's got some knowledge, and he's interesting. They put him on. It started as one or two nights a week, and then ended up he had like a two-hour show every night.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, what he did is, other than his expenses, so they paid him a little bit, he did it for free. But what he got in return was he could talk up a seminar he was doing.
Mm.
Okay? This is how he really kicked off. Right?
That's great.
His first seminar in Las Vegas, he had 1,500 people at $1,000 a pop.
Wow.
With no advertising costs, ladies and gentlemen.
That's
he was exciting. Doing a two-hour radio show for 2 months, and he would talk about, well, if you come to my whatever he called it at the time, I don't know what he called it, seminar. You know, he got, run the numbers, 1,500 people, $1,000. You know,
yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
And that's how he started, and then he went and he did the infomercial and other things went. But he did a couple of those in Las Vegas just by doing the radio shows.
Uh-huh.
And again, that's the perfect example of what you were talking about, how he started a joint venture. You know, the radio
uh-huh.
station was getting 2 hours of fun content at night, which was kind
uh-huh.
of a dead time.
Uh-huh.
He was just doing some commercials, and at first he thought, from what I understand, he was just hoping to get, you know, 50 to 100 people in the seminar. And it just, people just kept calling and signing up, and you know, I mean, and that's the perfect example of a joint venture.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And how I actually got started doing home study courses was a joint venture with Jerry Kine.
Jerry Kine.
Just over in Deadland, Florida, as I call it, but Deadland, Florida. And, you know, I went over there, and we started talking, and we, you know, he showed me how to do something. We put together a joint project, and, you know, it's taken on a life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all these ways, you know, these joint ventures really work, and there's a lot of people that have products and have websites and have things are always looking, you know, for joint ventures. So
it's the most credible, least risky, highest profit way to grow a business. I mean, remember when I was talking about the situation with the gentleman who said, you can keep all the money?
Mm-hmm.
All I'm going to have invested in that is my time to do the presentation. That's it. And then once I record the actual product, I'll be able to resell that product over and over and over again.
Right.
So all that money's going to be mine. But more importantly, I will have built relationships with people who are going to buy again from me and again and again and again. So, you know, to me, it's the fastest, safest way to build, whether it doesn't matter what stage of business you're in, what stage or what life cycle your business is in, joint ventures, endorsements, whatever you want to call them, and obviously an endorsement is the whole situation to have where you're being endorsed to someone's database, but it's the most, I'm not even going to say it again, it's just hands down, like I started out saying, is that when Jay was asked, what strategy would you want to use to start over with? You know, it was endorsements, joint ventures, strategic alliances.
Right. And I would say, too, that the other lesson we can take from that is, you know, I do a lot of these international trainings, and people say, how do I do those? Well, one day I'm going to do a seminar on that, but I network with people. And the people I've done the best with, like I go to Canada and do trainings up there, is, you know, I'm their NLP guy.
Uh-huh.
Right? I don't. Even though I could, because I probably hypnotized more people in my practice, even though I'm considered NLP and
mm-hmm.
the traditional hypnosis practice, I'm a probably hypnotized more people than most of the other hypnosis trainers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't do hypnosis trainings per se.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I work with all these people who do hypnosis trainings, Georgina Cannon in Canada, Jerry Kine, Cal Banyan, the guy in India. I mean, these, you know, I show up and do my NLP.
Mm-hmm.
And now they could do NLP. Each one of those people could teach NLP, but they're known as the hypnosis people. So I think, I'm babbling here, my caffeine's kicking in. the message is, I think the mistake I see people make is they want to be everything to everybody,
mm-hmm.
as you said earlier. And even as you start teaching, and a lot of the people on the call are going to become hypnosis teachers or NLP teachers, learn from the people that are doing quite well, that like Georgina Cannon up in Canada, the guy in England, Sean Brookhouse, and that. They bring in other experts, you know,
mm-hmm.
Sports people, addictions people.
And here's the deal. The great thing about that, Will, is the great thing about that is there's there's an implied endorsement. So even if you don't have a full fledged endorsement from someone, when you think about the people that I've had on my show, there's been a gentleman who's a top seller. He has two top selling negotiation books. His name is Mark Jankowski, Jankowski, something like that. Anyway, so he has two top-selling books. He's a negotiator. Anyone who's listening to that interview will hear me as well. And there's an implied endorsement there. And so even if you're not able to get a direct endorsement, the implied endorsement is fine. And an implied endorsement can I can tell you how I've used implied endorsements over the years. Or one of the ways that I would use it is in going into companies when I went out on my own, and I wasn't promoting Tony anymore, I still use Tony's name. I would still say, yeah, I used to be a regional sales trainer for Tony Robbins' organization, and people who had good feelings about Tony Robbins would immediately go, and I'd see them going to state. You did? Really? And guess what happens? You know, that gets those feelings get associated to me. So here's something I wanted to say real quick about in these relationships that you build with strategic alliances, endorsements, or joint ventures. Here's one of the reasons why that gentleman that's going to let me keep all the money. One of the reasons that he's going to do that is I orchestrated the deal so that I told him this, that if his members attempted to contact me outside of the deal that I'm offering him, they will not be able to get the same deal. So if they call, so what does that mean? It meant to him that I'm really wanting to make sure that he looks good in front of his members, that his members say to themselves, man, you really worked a really good deal out for us, you know? And so in the unlikely event that they actually ended up contacting me and saying, hey, Rana, you know, I heard you did the interview the other night, and I heard you, and I decided to call you directly and find out if I could get the same deal through you that you offered on the show the other night. Hello?
I don't know what that is.
I wanted to find out if you offered me the same deal, and I would actually say, no, I won't do that. You can take, if you want to do it through me, it's going to be, you know, I gave it to you. The price through the organization is $99. But if you want to buy it from me, it's going to be $149.
Right.
So it's better that you actually go through the organization and take advantage of the VIP pricing that I arranged with Jim. Otherwise, you can pay me the $149, but...
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because yeah. I want him to process those orders. I want their, again, so when you're putting these deals together with joint venture partners, then just keep that in mind that you are really looking out for their best interest and of their customers or clients.
Another way, before we take a couple questions, is, and always people hear me harp on this, you know, there's... all these hypnosis conferences. Of course, I go to the National Guild, but I've been to all of them just about. And a great way, to me, it's an implied endorsement if you go teach a class at one of these conferences,
mm-hmm.
Any kind of class, a seminar, a workshop, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you don't get paid for it. Well, you get paid maybe if you do a workshop or a class.
Uh-huh.
But even if you just go do some 1 hour, then, you know, especially on the local level, you know, you're the hypnotist that taught at the National Guild of Hypnotists or the International Association of Counselors and Therapists or all
mm-hmm.
these, you know, I am, the list goes on, International Hypnosis Federation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one reason I suggest everybody go to them, besides you get to network with people, and where can you run into people to do these joint ventures with? Well, there's these conferences. But if
right.
you teach, then you can, you know, you can put in your ads that you were the... And I like what the Guild does, and a lot of them do it now, that you always get a plaque that says Outstanding Presenter, right?
Oh,
everybody
nice.
Gets that plaque. So then you can honestly say in your advertising, I was given the outstanding presenter plaque at the National Guild of Hypnotists. Right? So it doesn't mean you won the chair. Well, outside of our field, nobody knows what these things are anyway.
Uh-huh.
You know, so just there's some other things. But so I'd like to ask: does anybody have any questions on anything?
What recommendations for using that what we talked about tonight with building a seminar business?
Okay. Good question. Mm-hmm. Ron, do you want to take that first, and then I'll throw some stuff in there.
Same thing. Find people who are delivering seminars that are of interest to the same target audience. However, they are not delivering obviously the same content as you would be, and approach those people and talk to them about putting you on the playbill, for lack of a better description, putting you on the brochure or whatever, adding you to the number of speakers that someone can come and listen to. So that's the way I would approach that, and in fact, that's what I'm doing, and that I approached just recently within the last Saturday. Time distortion. What time is it? Where am I? that's how I actually ended up on the phone with some coaching clients of a sales trainer. Again, she doesn't teach sales. She actually knows some NLP, but she's not certified in NLP. So she brought myself and another gentleman on to talk to her coaching clients about NLP and the benefits of NLP. So, you know, are you talking about, you're talking about live seminars, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So that's exactly what I do. Is that, you have any questions out of what I just said or questions about anything I just said?
Yeah. No, just building on that. That's a good idea.
Okay.
And then you could, I did a few live seminars, like stop smoking seminars and then weight loss seminars. By going to the local, this was when I was in Northwest Indiana, because they had the big steel mills and those healthcare providers, I contacted them and offered to do it for their group. And it took to be honest, it took a few months of phone calls and a couple of meetings, but I ended up doing, three series of three, over a couple of years. Of seminars where, I got reimbursed. Well, the people paid me, but then the insurance company reimbursed them. So there's that way. And that was my selling point to them, is that, and it's true, if people do not pay, I mean, if the insurance company was paying, people aren't motivated. So I said, well, let them pay me so they're motivated, and then you reimburse them after the three sessions,
Uh-huh.
And they liked that idea, In fact, they added that for the smoking, the people got reimbursed after 60 days if they said they stopped smoking. So, huh. So that was a different way. And but another way is to, here's a back way. It's not exactly building a seminar business. It's cashing in on a seminar business. But I know if Rich is still on, he'll tell you this. When one of these guys, when you see one of the, there's still a few guys coming around doing the Holiday Inn gigs, right? The stop smoking weight loss at the Holiday Inn or, the local area.
Mm-hmm.
Show up before one of their shows, get there plenty in time because they're setting up, because, they do, when you do that kind of work, you're the chief cook and bottle water. You set up, you do the seminar, you take the money, you clean up, you do everything. It's not glamorous. But if you show up, say, hi, I'm so-and-so, local hypnotist, you'd be surprised. Now, not all will do it, but many of them they'll talk to you, because first of all, you get lonely on the road. And I had one who, when I first did this in Northwest Indiana, and I would do it when I was doing those seminars, which if you came and said, hi, I'd sit there and talk to you and say, hey, do you have any cards? you give me some of your cards, and I'd take your cards, and then during the seminar, I'd say, you want to sit in the back of the room? During the seminar, I'd say, you know, I've networked with a lot of people all over the country. There's Ron there. In fact, I have his cards up here. If anybody wants any private sessions, you know, see Ron back there or take some of his cards.
Wow.
Now, what that did is it gave me credibility. I'm from Florida. What the heck am I doing in Buffalo, New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Ron's local. So I've and then it looks like I know everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned Buffalo because one lady up there, I had a lady quit smoking who was pregnant. She ended up, the lady in the back of the room, got like 5 clients to do hypnobirthing out of that seminar.
Hmm.
And she wrote me a very nice thank you. I said, well, fine. You know, I got, you know. So that's something that a lot of people don't think about. Now, not all will do it. Some will be kind of rude. But, you know, just show up, say hi. Just say I thought I'd say hi. And you'd be surprised how many of them will give you an endorsement. The same thing is if you have a comedy club in your town and there's a stage hypnotist there, if you can get in touch with him before the show, say, you know, you'd like to talk to him and give him your card and say, I don't stress to him you don't do stage shows, by the way.
Because
if you tell him you do stage show, most of them will freak out.
Mm-hmm.
But just say I'm local, and many of them will do the same thing. They'll give out cards for local people.
That's great.
Because
it's
tagging in exactly what Ron was talking about earlier. It adds credibility to them because you're the local hypnotist. And that's a little. I don't know why I thought of that, but I always forget to say that.
It's so. Great.
That's what happens when you're an old guy, been in the business 25 years. Any other questions from anybody?
Come on, don't be shy. Pick up the phone or take yourself on mute. Ask a question.
Well, I just want to thank you, Will, for continuing to give us these great calls with, you know, Ron's just a fantastic person to listen to, and we're learning so much. And I don't think any other NLP organization gives this high value that you've done, and I really appreciate that, and I'm sure we all do.
Who's this?
This is Paul calling from South Carolina.
Hi.
Hi, Paul.
Put that in writing. I'm putting that on my website.
I want a copy.
In fact, these calls are exactly what Ron was talking about tonight. I'm networking with other people. A lot of my students, if anybody's got an idea for a teleconference, please get in touch with me because, you know, I'm doing one a month, maybe two a month. I could do one a week if I got people to talk. And I'm trying to network with other people to not just build their business, as was just pointed out. It builds our credibility as NFNLP because
right.
I'm really trying to make it not about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really, everybody thinks I'm kidding. I'm really ready to not do this anymore.
I'm just curious, and thanks again for that compliment, Paul. I have the, what do they call it? I feel really good on the inside. I feel warm and fuzzy. That's it. Warm and fuzzy.
There you go.
What?
That's special.
Special, that's right. That would be ideal. I can tell you, everyone, that there are people who are more than people within my own network that I can bring on these calls. But is there a real interest? But more importantly, how many people can we get on the call? Because that's also a motivator for people. That's a carrot, if you will. If I can say that I can bring 50 people on the line to listen to what you have to say, depending on, you know, in their particular practice or whatever it is they're doing. And it also has to do with their perspective. Years ago, actually I was considering doing training through like a 900 number where people they pay a minute, whatever it is per minute to hear me do marketing consulting and get paid that way. It was just an idea I came up with. But I called a company and they said they charged $3,000 up front, and by the time I was finished with the conversation with this guy, he was saying, well, you know, we'll charge you $250. Well, the reason that he did that is because I got him to look at the what the outcome was for them as a company. And that is, they really want for me to be successful. And if I have to put $3,000 on the front end to get the, you know, just to get the service, and then I have to come up with the additional money to advertise the service, then they've really hurt themselves. So that was my rationale. So why did I even tell that story? The reason I say that is, when, if I were to approach someone and say, hey, will you come on and do a call with a number of NLP practitioners who are really wanting to grow their practice, I can talk about that concept, and that is, that's a J concept. You know, when you look at, you know, why would you give your service away free, like I was talking about earlier? Why would I give my service away free? Well, I've had, I can tell you of an experience where I gave my service or gave a program of mine away free, and it turned into a $5,000 a month contract. So is it worth it? Yes, it is. Is it worth giving away something on the front end that is of low value, or excuse me, a low cost to you, but it has a high perceived value to the recipient? Absolutely. Every day, all day, is a great, that's one of the great ways to grow, another great way to grow your businesses. But you have to have a concept, and you have to know your numbers. You know, you have to know, definitely know your numbers and be tracking what it is that's going on with your practice. So, you know, it really isn't a challenge to get people, in my mind anyway, there's a belief, right? It isn't a challenge to get people to come on, but certainly if there's a audience, you know, there has to be an audience for it. So I'm curious to know how many people usually come on these calls.
Well,
tonight I think we had 20-something.
20? Is that the average?
I've had as high as 80 and as low as 5.
How did you get to 80? What was that topic about?
That was, which one was that? I don't remember. I'd have to look it up.
Man, whatever that was, less than...
Yeah, I'm going to do that one again, yeah.
80 people on the call. And, you know, whether it's 80 or 20 or 15 or 10, I'm grateful to have the opportunity to share what I know with any of you simply because of the impact that hypnosis and NLP has had on my life. And, you know, as I told Will, you know, before we came on the call, or I think it was yesterday you and I talked, I'm not taking on coaching, you know, marketing clients. However, I have a team of people who are certainly very capable of, you know, with me at the helm, working with anyone who wants to further their relationship or find out more of how this can be, how can I grow my practice in a systematic way. So that's there for you. It's on the table for you. But, you know, going back to some of the things, we're in Q&A mode right now, right?
Yeah.
Or is everyone off? How many people are still on the line?
I'm here.
You're still here.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
About 15.
About 15 people? Wow, that's great. It's 9.
Any other questions from anybody?
I just want to say I think that this...
I knew Rich would have a question.
Well, it's not really a question. It's just that the principle that you gave us tonight about... It seems to me it gets a lot of things like the law of reciprocity going and also the idea about giving to get.
Absolutely.
And that makes a lot of sense. And also, through the conversation tonight, I was getting a lot of different ideas of how you can apply this in a lot of different ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The unconscious tool of influence that is at play with endorsements is social proof. Is everyone familiar with Dr. Robert Cialdini's work?
Yeah.
Rich, you just mentioned the law of reciprocity. That's one of the unconscious tools of influence. In our society, we've been conditioned to give back to someone who's given to us. Otherwise, there's a lot of, you know, negative things that people say about us when we don't, at very minimum, say thank you for somebody giving us something.
Right.
But it is a law of reciprocity. It is a law. We're conditioned to respond that way. Social proof is the same thing in that we look to people who are like us or people who we respect when we're making a decision in various areas, not every area.
Right.
Some of us have a very strong internal frame of reference about NLP. Do we necessarily look to other people for advice in that area? Probably not. But then again, it's based on what it may be based on what intervention you may be using. If it isn't something you've used a lot, and you look to someone. But endorsement, the power of endorsements is based on that principle of social proof. So you have social proof, you have reciprocity, you have authority, and Will was talking about going on the radio, becoming an expert. That is the what he calls the he calls that authority, which really to me falls under social proof. They're kind of interrelated to me. They seem to, when you become a person of authority, social proof comes with that because other people have to confirm that you are an expert. You can't, very few people can come out and say, I'm an expert.
Right.
And other people be like, okay, yeah, I'll just take your word for it. No, we generally will look to other people to see who else says this guy's an expert.
And then the other thing to remember is, one reason when you're networking with people is to think long term. One way to think about it is Tony Robbins does not get paid to do these things when he does them for those one day seminars that he does with there's been different people, but him and Donald Trump do it. Sometimes Marshall Silver does it with Donald Trump. There's a bunch of people. There's huge. Learning Annex does them is who I'm thinking of.
Right.
And I saw Tony Robbins and Donald Trump in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. All they get is their expenses paid to do that, from what I understand. But they're in front of several thousand people.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know where it'll go. And I remember one of my first international trips, how I got it is I was at a small conference that I almost wasn't going to go to because I didn't have very many people in the class I was teaching. But I did, and I had a small class. And one of the people in my class was going to India to do something else, and it told the person over there who called me up who brought me to India the first time.
Wow.
So, you never know. It's that whole thing of play it forward, I guess, that like a call like tonight, maybe someone will, network with someone else, and you never know where it'll go.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've seen people, just out of the big gate, somebody asks them to come to a conference, and they say, yes, but I want $5,000 and, first-class airline tickets and da-da-da-da-da. And it lets you know that, A, they don't understand how this business works, and, B, because even the big names, it's more surprising than you think that people show up to speak for little of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not talking about the corporate gigs where you get paid thousands of dollars. Yes, that's true, but just these, because, and I've shown up and talked for nothing just to be in front of people. I flew to Washington State to talk to this was several years ago, human resource people, and they paid my airline, my hotel, picked me up at the airport and that kind of stuff. But I actually didn't get paid to do it, but I walked out of there, probably sold about $5,000 worth of product.
Mm-hmm.
That
is called a back end.
Mm-hmm.
So when you know your numbers, you can give up that front end to bring in a new customer. Some people even, and Jay even talks some of his clients into losing money on the front end to bring in a customer because they have a product or a service that lends itself to recurring charges. So they're willing to give up that front end and allow you to come in and do for like a tree trimming service, you know, however long it generally takes to keep your trees looking really beautiful. A tree trimming service can come out and do that, do one service free if you're willing to sign up for us, you know, a 3 month, a 6 month recurring billing type situation. So in that circumstance, it makes sense to give up that front end money. And in doing speaking engagements, what I've heard in that Brian Geis, who's one, a dear friend and client of mine, was one of the things that he was doing when he first started back in the IT industry doing speaking, is he would actually do a speaking engagement, but in exchange for the database. Now, that's pretty bold to ask for, but Brian's a bold guy. So, you know, the thing is that if you have something that, you know, going into it, just have what you want, knowing what you want to accomplish, knowing what your outcome is, you know, what is your outcome? And to a large degree, it's knowing what's possible. And I can tell you this, that whatever your mind can come up with, within, you know, obviously within reason, can happen, in that it all comes down to asking. I didn't ask that guy to give me all the money on this deal I'm going to be doing on, I think, the 22nd or 23rd. I didn't ask him to give me all the money for that. It just happened. Would I have asked for that? I got to say, honestly, no. I wouldn't have asked for him to give me all the money. I was going to negotiate with him. But the point that I want to get to is that front end, looking at that front end, bringing in a lead, bringing in a prospect, a prospective client or customer, how many times do you generally work with someone over the course of their relationship with you, their professional relationship? Because hopefully they remain friends with you for the rest of their lives because of what you help them do, help whatever problem you help them resolve. But in doing that, whatever it is that you do for them, how, if you know what your success rate is and how long it usually takes you to handle a particular issue, you can start figuring out, does it make sense for me to do, to set up some kind of way for people to sample what I do? And one of the things that, you know, that leads into another thought, and that is doing a free info night or a free private type of event for someone else's clients. Again, like, you know, this is kind of the setup here, in that you can do a private event. You can do private events for other people, and it's all about making them look good. You know, it's all about making your endorser or your joint venture partner look good. And that's one outcome. And the other outcome is that some business may come out of that. And if it doesn't, be okay with that, but recognize that those people know who you are now. They know your name. And more than likely, when they come across whatever situation that you discuss during the course of a teleseminar or during a free talk, you know, from if it's a seminar or a workshop or whatever it is that wherever they experience you, they'll more than likely remember that. They'll remember what you talked about, depending on how much of a trance you put people in and how many stories you tell and how memorable those stories might be, that people are going to remember that. Hasn't that been your experience, Will?
Yeah.
Yeah, they end up remembering, you know, like, yeah, I saw you 2 months ago, and something stuck with me that you said, and I just decided to call you. So what is anyone want to talk about something else, or anyone have a question? Questions?
Well, my question is, Ron, with all your NLP background, what motivated you to affiliate with Dr. Will Horton?
He just excited to go to somebody that
didn't know what the hell they were doing.
I did some checking out. I checked him out before I got associated with him. I checked him out and read about him, and I did my due diligence before I decided to contact him and go through his training. And it's one of the best decisions I've ever made in that I enjoyed the training. He's very entertaining. He knows his stuff. You know,
write that down and send
NLP.
It to Will.
What'd you say?
Write that down and send it to Will. It sounds like an endorsement.
Yeah, he's recording it, so, you know.
Yeah, former sales manager for Tony Robbins.
Yeah, so it's so was that it? Is there any other questions?
Great call.
Man, is everyone like so? Everyone is doing their marketing is just like humming. It's a well-oiled machine. It's tuned up, and there's just like nothing that I can, you know, no questions that you have or.
Actually, I have one.
All right. Yes. Who is this?
This is Sheila.
Sheila.
Hi, Will.
Hi, Sheila.
And I'm moving into a new area. It's not that far away from me, but it's like I'm going to have to pretty much start from scratch again.
Okay.
And I was just wondering if you had any, you know, top of the head advice on doing that, moving into an area where I don't know anybody in particular. What would be the best way for me to get myself out there, you know, hit the ground running sort of thing?
Find associations, organizations, companies that are already doing business with your ideal client or customer.
Okay.
That's...
Figure out who that is.
Pardon me?
I just have to figure out who that is.
What do you do, Sheila?
Hypnosis and NLP.
Okay, great. So what area are you planning on focusing on? Of those two, what are you planning on doing with NLP?
Ultimately, I want to pursue more of a coaching aspect.
Life coaching? What area of coaching?
Personal growth coaching.
Personal
that
growth.
Sort of so, more along so, the spiritual lines, actually, is where I'm interested in.
Okay, along the spirit. Okay, but what area of the country are you
in Oakville, Ontario.
Ontario...
Canada,
eh? Canada, eh? So, you know, so again, I'm not sure what the environment is like up there if you're going to focus in on that particular area. But again, if you are with the skills that you have, you can certainly be life coaching, spiritual coach, whatever, you know, you can combine that. But spiritual coach is certainly that's a niche, certainly. And again, so who would be an ideal an organization? Well, tell me what topics would you talk about?
If I were going out to talk to people, I would probably talk to them along the lines of helping themselves overcome the challenges that people throw up in front of themselves. And some of the time, you know, they would do this because other people have, you know, told them that they have these challenges, so they've accepted this. It's a program that's running that they need to get rid of, sort of thing.
Okay. So would that, how are you handling that from the spiritual aspect?
Well, in getting them more in touch with their higher self.
Okay.
And I found one of the things that we did at our master's program with Will back in October was very interesting for me as, you know, the moving up the escalator into the higher realms and getting in touch with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I have found that with my current clients to be very powerful in helping them to recognize, some of them, you know, question the fact that they have a higher spiritual part to them, and with the, you know, combination of hypnosis, NLP, taking them there, it really helps.
Yeah, so okay, so the topic or the title of your talk could be something along the lines of unleash the power of your spirit.
Right, something along those lines.
Unlock the power of your spirit, or something along those lines. And so to me, that I actually like that title myself. You can't use that, Sheila. I'm going to use that myself. No, I'm just kidding. So really, along those lines, you certainly, now you have a topic, and who would be interested in that topic? First and foremost, you want to ask, what does that mean? Because what will that mean to people? What does it mean? Let's get some feedback from the people listening into the call. Let's help our teammate here. What does that mean when you hear it? Not, you know, just the two titles that I came up with. What does that mean to you when you hear unleash your spirit or unleash the power of your spirit? Don't all go at once, please.
Shy group.
Yeah, okay. So while you're thinking about that, let's talk organizations that would be that you could go to with a topic similar to that. There are, again, Ontario, I'm not familiar with. I haven't been there. So, but more than likely, there are.
Just outside Toronto, yeah.
Outside Toronto. Okay, so wow. So Toronto, the Toronto area.
Yeah, I would say, like, offer to do talks at, like, the metaphysical bookstores.
Uh-huh.
There's always a bunch of those.
Uh-huh.
Unitarian churches.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, some of those. And even some of the, what's it called, like, Unity Christian Church.
Yeah.
Very open to that. And I would say sell it as you're not just talking in theory, you're going to give step-by-step ways.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That'd
it's
be
not
great.
Just, you know, a pontification. You're going to give them a tried and true step-by-step ways used on thousands of people or whatever.
Yeah, so there you go, Sheila. There's a few ideas, a few organizations that you could tap to, or companies, or associations that would be interested in that topic.
I'm wondering if, like, some of the hospice-type places, like cancer treatment, that kind of thing, would be interested in something along those lines. I'm just kind of talking off the top.
I don't know, but you could contact the chaplains that usually there's places that will have a chaplain,
mm-hmm.
and they'll always have all their ministers coming in and out. But or just go to the yeah, I bet you they might.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know till you ask.
Exactly. There you go.
Right. That's good. That's given me some ideas because I'm moving at the end of the month and.
And the other thing, since you're moving, you can totally reinvent yourself.
Well, that's part of the idea, too, you know, just get right out there. I've bought myself a really nice condo, and I'm, you know, I want to be able to get out there and talk to people. And
is there enough room for all of us?
Yeah.
We want to come visit, have a party at your
place.
Oh,
well, you're welcome anytime.
Oh, boy.
I think we got to wrap it up.
Okay.
It's getting late here on the East
Thank
Coast.
You so much for that.
Oh, it was my pleasure, and I appreciate everyone helping. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, and I'd like to thank everybody for being on the call. I've got them all recorded. I just got to finally upload them either to the website or the podcast. So people can go back and listen and get those. But they will be out there. And I'd like to thank everybody, especially Ron, for coming on, sharing his expertise. And I'm sure we're going to hear from him in the future with more things. Maybe we'll do a different call. And I'd like to thank him. And let me there we go, stop the recording. So I'd like to thank everybody for coming on. And keep in touch.
Thank you, Will.
The e-zine will be going out this weekend. It got delayed. It was a problem on my part, but it's coming out. So, and again, since we got still got 12, 13 people on the call, if anybody wants to write an article, feel free. We can always use articles. And if you have any ideas for a conference call for you to do, or even a topic you would like to hear,
mm-hmm.
let me know, because I'm always looking around for different topics. You know,
right.
Because you know that's what will make this thing go and grow. So
yeah, and
I'd
communicate
like to thank everybody.
Communicate those things to me too, because there are people who certainly would, I believe, come on and talk about various topics. And hey, Will, do you mind if I let them know about my radio show?
Oh no, go ahead. Yeah, tell them.
Okay.
Tell them. And I'll put it in the e-zine, too, by the way.
On Monday, I'm going to be interviewing a young lady named Monica Ogando. She is known as the Business Explosion Coach. So you can find out more about that by going to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com/immediate influence. And that'll take you straight to my profile. And that way you'll be able to, you know, you can click on set reminder, because that show is going to be on Monday. So please join us and have some questions for Monica. I'm sure she'll be very pleased to answer those. And, of course, she's going to invite her own list of clients to tap into the show as well. But I really enjoyed tonight. Thank you very much, Will, for inviting me to come on and talk. And
great call.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was great.
All right. I'd like to thank everybody, and I'll see you on the road as we trudge the road to happy destiny.
Thank you, Juan.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Run there.
The moderator has disconnected.